Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
What did we talk about last time? Goodness and faithfulness. It's so important that God develops this in us, because that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's developing goodness and faithfulness and the fruit of the Spirit. And so that's what He's up to in the church, the people of God. Today, we're going to talk about self-control. Goodness, David said, I would have lost heart unless I could see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So David was talking about vision there. He said he can see the goodness of God in the midst of all the stuff that's going on. And so that's the way it is. When we can see, we have vision, folks, it's going to be effective in our lives and in other people's lives. So the reason we have the vision on the wall, and we say it every week, is because vision has power. Vision has power for your life. If you don't have vision, the Bible says you're going to perish. It says in Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. And that word perish means lack of discipline and lack of self-control in the Hebrew language. So where you don't have that, you waste away. And so the idea is, what vision does is it brings it. It brings control in your life. And my translation says, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. See, the word vision and revelation are synonymous. They're the same words. And the word revelation means to reveal what's on the mind of God to the church for direction. You see, that's what vision does. It gives you direction. Direction in life. Because we are the church. We're the people of God. When you're born again, you're born into God's family. You become the church. The church is not the building. The church is a people, right? You become the people of God, the church. And so when you get revelation, you're to live by revelation. We don't live by information, we live by revelation. God revealing Himself to you. And that shows you how to live and which way to go in life. And so that's what vision does. It brings that to you. It brings what the real you. It brings the authentic you. That's what it does. It brings the real you out in your life. Now, in Matthew 6:22, it says, if the eye is good, the whole body will be full of light. The word eye means vision. So if your vision is good, the word good means clear and single. So if your vision is clear and single, your whole body will be full of light. That goes for you as an individual and us as a corporate body. You see, if we have vision, then we're going to know which way we're going. The reason Jesus said to the religious folks, He says, you're like, you know, the blind leading the blind. You leaders are leading people over into the ditch. But if you can see where you're going, you're going to stay out of the ditches. I'm paraphrasing. But the idea is, that's the way it is. When you see and know where you're going to where you're supposed to be going. What you're created for. That's what vision does. God is all about vision. And it brings restraint. Where? In your soul that resides in your body. Your soul is what you live out of. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's what your soul is made of. That's what you live. You make all your decisions, your financial decisions, your relationship decisions. Every decision is made out of your soul. So it brings restraint to that area of your life, the soul, under God. And now I'm going the way God created me to be. I'm living that out. Because I'm connected to a vision, and the people of God, we're moving. We know where we're going, and we're moving. You see, that's what vision does. Now listen to this. There's three institutions that God has established. Marriage and family is one. The church is two, the people of God. And civil authorities is the third one. Those are three institutions that God has established. They are divine institutions, and we can't escape that. That's just the way it is. Listen to what the meaning of institution. Institution means this: a relationship or behavioral pattern of importance in the life of a community or society. You see, that's what the church is. It's an institution. It's a place. It's a behavioral pattern. That's what we have, a certain way we're going to behave because the community and society is being affected by the church. And you see, when we have vision, it brings restraint. We're an institution. See, we come together. We know where we're, because we're the church. And Jesus said, I will build my church. People, I will build my church. And what? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. You see that? When you know who you are, you know where you're going, and you're connected to the church, the devil is shaking in his boots. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But you got to see it. You got to see it, and you got to understand it. And we are living in a day, you better understand it. There's no time to be playing church or being religious or just going to church. I did a message one time, stop going to church and start being the church. We got to be the church. And when we are the church, we're going to have authority. We have authority. We have authority and influence. Are you picking up what I'm dropping down? Folks, that's vision. We're the institution, the church, the people of God. And that's why we got to understand self-control, and we got to understand love and all that's in between there, all those fruits, because it's a behavioral pattern for society and for the community. Oh, get out of here. Don't you see that? And when we really get it, man, can we be effective? You see, we can be effective in advancing the kingdom. And that's the only reason you exist. That's the only reason you have breath, is to advance God's kingdom. Kingdom means authority. You are under the king. Jesus is the king. All right. We are going to go to Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And he starts out with love. Then he goes on. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. See, love is the beginning. Self-control is the end. If you have those two working, remember the agape love, then the rest is going to manifest. It's going to show up in your life. Now, I want to look at this word self-control. The word self-control is meekness. That's where self-control was derived from. Meekness. And it's the Greek word P-R-A-U-T-E-S. Parutz. And it means meekness. It depicts the attitude or demeanor of a person who is forbearing, patient, and slow to respond in anger. In other words, they don't fly off. They don't have a, you know, they don't get in a fit of rage. They don't have these temper tantrums all the time. One who remains in control of himself in the face of insults or injuries. In the Greek language and culture, the word praouts, or meekness, conveys the idea of a high and noble ideal to be aspired to in one's life. So when someone is called in the Greek culture, they make a comment, that person is meek. That is a high compliment. You see, meekness is not weakness. A lot of people think meekness is just quiet, mild manner. They're just being meek. That is so far from what meekness is. Meekness is strength. One of its meanings is strength under control. And you're not born with this attribute of meekness. Remember, you're not born with that. It has to be developed. So meekness comes from God. It's an attribute. Remember, an attribute is a tribute to where it originated. So meekness comes from God. And when you have a relationship with Him and you're connecting with Him, you can get you some meekness. But without Him, You can't have meekness. You won't have self-control. Without meekness, you have no purpose or no power in your life. Meekness is self-control. Don't you see why this has to be developed? If we can get some self-control in the church, the people of God, how effective we'll be in the community and in society, in the institution. Get this. The word meekness pictures a strong-willed person who has learned to submit his will to a higher authority. He isn't weak. He is controlled. He may, in fact, possess a strong will and a powerful character, but this person has learned the secret of submitting to those who are over him. He is one who knows how to bring his will under control. The word parous or meekness was used to describe wild animals that had become tame because it correctly conveyed the idea of a wild, fierce will under control. You see? Submit. Submission. That's what it is. A will that's under submission. Under authority. Under authority. Submarine. Sub speaks of, it's below, you can't see it. You're under the mission that God has created you for when you are willing to submit to a higher authority. You see that? You're under that mission. What's the mission in this church? To seek and save the lost. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. That's it. They're preaching the gospel. That's the mission. That's really why you're here. It takes you being under authority to carry that out. Nobody likes that word, but it's God's authority. It's God's kingdom. Submission. That's self-control. Now, it talks about in Psalms 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. When David was talking about a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, that word broken in the Hebrew language means submission, to submit. So the word broken means to submit. It comes from the training of a horse. Here's what that looks like. When a horse needs to be broken, he has to go through training, extensive training. Because back in biblical days, if that horse was not willing to submit to its master, then it had the potential to destroy a lot of lives. But if it was willing to submit, it had the potential and power to save a lot of lives in battle, in war. And you see, every one of you are gifted. Everybody in this room has a gift. You're born with a gift. Romans 11:29 says that the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. They cannot change. You came into this world with a gift. And that's what the devil is after. The devil is after your gift. He doesn't want your gift to be developed. Because if that gift is developed and it's under authority, it has power to change and influence many people's lives. Because it's under the mission that God created and established it for. But that is played out in the institution of God. And that's why we need to learn and understand this word submit and submission. It's authority. People don't like authority. They want to do things their way. But you see, that's totally not in the direction that God is calling you to. But when we're willing to submit, man, it brings power in your life. You see, when you have your gift, it says we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power is not of us, but it's of God. See, God called, it's a treasure. When you have that and you tap into that, man, it makes life exciting. It makes life different. No matter what's happening out here and you're in touch with that and you got vision and you're, it makes life worth living. It's love worth finding. Are you with me? It gives you life. And you know, I've been around people that have everything. And you, I mean, they got everything. But you know what? They're just looking for what I got. I'm not bragging. I just know that they're just looking for what I got. There's something about the fulfillment of God and using your gift and being under that auspices of God. But it takes you being willing to submit to His word in the church. See, a lot of churches are religious, and they don't have vision, and that wear you out. That's empty. But where there's true vision, oh, that brings life. That's what you wake up in the morning. You got a reason to go exercise. You got a reason to get things done. You got a reason to be after it. You got purpose. You got life. That's why we read that vision every week. That's what Paul said. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance sanctified by faith in me. An inheritance that's reserved in heaven for those who are being kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in these last days. That power of God is the authority of God. You see, when you're under that power, now it's being made known to you, ready to be revealed in these last days. And that's what vision does. It brings that about in your life. All right. Meekness. When the Holy Spirit is producing meekness or self-control in your life, you are controlled even in difficult circumstances. Rather than fly off the handle into a rage and then throw a temper tantrum, you are able to remain silent and keep your emotions and temper under control. If you find yourself in a situation that you fiercely believe is wrong, you are still able to stay silent until the appropriate moment to speak or until you have been asked for your opinion. You know how to control yourself and your emotions. Someone who operates in meekness becomes like a healing aid in a soothing and a soothing medication to calm the angry mind. I'm going to give you an example. I had the privilege and honor to marry my son. You know, I performed his wedding ceremony. This was at Ginghamsburg Church down the road. And so this was a big wedding. There was over 400 people there. And so we're going through this, preparing for the wedding. And it was getting ready to start like in an hour. And so we're going through it. And this lady comes out of the office. And she comes up to the other, there was another pastor there that was assisting and helping. And she says, "We need you, pastor, right now." And she's looking at me. And, you know, I was going to go. But the other guy goes, "Well, I'll go. You, since you're doing this and you're busy, I'll take care of it." I said, "Okay, yeah, you go ahead." So he goes into the office and he comes back. He looks like he's seen a ghost. I mean, he looks like something major is going wrong. He goes, "You're not going to believe what happened. You're not going to believe it. I could see it in his eyes. It was evil." I said, "What?" He goes, "This guy, he's a Satan worshiper. He told me he was a Satan worshiper. He has tattoos all over him. He was dressed in black. He said he was going to come in here and start shooting." I said, "Where's he at?" That's what I said, just like that. I said, "Where's he at?" "He left. He left?" I said, "Why didn't you hog tie him?" I'm telling you, I'd have had him on the floor. Some imp come in there. That's what it was. And then word started getting out. And you could feel the humming in the air. I just said a prayer. I spoke peace over everybody. And I'm telling you what, it left. But I told him, "Call the police. Go call the police now." Really? This was the wedding. See, I was an evangelist doing evangelism. And I had the football field. And I did a big outreach that year, you know, and they saw in the paper that I was doing marrying my son. And so, you know, those kind of groups, they get weird. They hide under rocks and they're wormy. They're cowards. And, you know, I recognize that. This is my point of this whole thing. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." You see, I had been with Jesus that morning, and I had meekness in me, and I didn't blow off gasket. I didn't blow off. If I would have blew off, it affected the whole thing. Might not even happen. People are saying, "We need to put this off and do it next week," or, you know. That's just what old Bubba Breath wanted. You hear what I'm saying? So a calm came, and it's because of meekness. That's what I'm trying to show you. Strength under control. Now, in Psalms 37:11, it says this, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in an abundance of peace." That word abundance means an overflowing. When you are in meekness, you have an overflowing of peace. You bring calm and peace to situations. You just because you showed up when you're walking in meekness. Now listen, someone who operates in meekness becomes like a healing aid and a soothing medication to calm the angry mind. Do you find that you are often a contributor to a heated and potentially explosive atmosphere? Or does your presence bring peace into the midst of the conflict? When others say or do something that could offend you, do you quickly retort with a harsh answer, or are you able to control your emotions and your temper? The flesh loves to rage out of control. It does. And the Bible says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Matthew 5:5. The word blessed means happy. Happy are the meek. When you're meek, you're happy. I want to be happy, don't you? If you got some meekness going on, it produces happiness. And it says they will inherit the earth. That word inherit means to take possession. In other words, you're going to take over the land that God has called you to. We're going to take possession. We're not going to fulfill this mission and that vision without meekness, without self-control. But when we have it, it will happen. God established a law that everything that produces after its own kind. That's a law. That's a spiritual law. And God is meek. And when we're connected to Him, He's going to produce that meekness in us. Now, the reason why we have outbursts of anger is because we don't believe that God is in control. So we try to control. Relational storms happen in relationships. In relationships. Relationship. Remember, I'm a word nerd. Relationship. So when you go through storms, it's like being in a ship when you're in a relationship. There's going to be storms, right? When you go through storms, meekness allows you to sleep in the bottom of the boat. You see, no matter what kind of storm you're going through, if you operate in meekness, you can sleep in the bottom of the boat like Jesus did. When the disciples went crazy and said, "We're going to die." Jesus, "Peace, be still." That water came to a calm. See that? Jesus was meek. He was our example of meekness. You know why you're going to have relational storms? Because those you are in relationship aren't perfect. Now watch this. We got one more word. Temperance. Meekness and temperance are the words that self-control comes from. Now listen. The word meekness has to do with attitude or demeanor of a person who can control his temper or emotions. Now catch this. Temperance comes from the Greek word en-kratos. E-N-K-R-A-T-O-S. E-N means in, I-N. In kroto. Kroto means power. In other words, you have power in you. In you. It's in you. You have power in you. Now watch this. When compounded into one word, enkratia, which literally means in control, denotes power over oneself. It is translated as the word self-control, just like meekness. Now listen, this is what it controls. It suggests the control of restraint over one's passions, appetites, and desires. You see, when you have temperance, you can control your appetites, your desires, and your passions. You see, when you have temperance, you don't have an affair on your spouse. You don't go out on your spouse. You continue to love because you're under control. You see, when you have temperance, you don't overeat all the time. Still love me? See, when you have temperance, you can control. Now I'm gonna confess I have a problem. I remember I used to eat half gallon of Rocky Road ice cream at one time, all in the same night, right? Well, I got that conquered. I don't do that anymore. But then I started eating a bag of organic multigrain chips every night. But I don't do that anymore either. What? Self-control. It's working. Now I'm getting me a four-pack. I am. It's happening. It's because I'm getting some self-control in areas. You see, I'm trying to show you this is real. This is very real. And, you know, don't let it beat you up, but just know that, hey, this is what we got to do. Now watch this. In the same way a meek individual can control his attitude, a person with temperance has power over his appetites, his physical urges, his passions, and desires, because the Holy Spirit has produced temperance in his life. He is able to say no to overeating, overindulging in fleshly activities, no to any excess in the physical realm, and is able to maintain a life of moderation and control. The word enkratia, or temperance, is translated self-control, restraint, discipline, and balance. It's obvious how opposite temperance or self-control is to the works of the flesh. That's our next series, starting next week, The Works of the Flesh. If the flesh is allowed to have its way, it will over-worry, over-work, over-eat, over-indulge, and literally run itself to death. But when we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit produces in us a discipline over the physical realm that helps sustain our physical condition and stay in good health. It is the best health insurance you can have, is being under control. Self-control. It will help you to remain free from sin and live a life that is in moderation and balance. With this understanding of self-control, meekness, and temperance, consider how well you are doing in allowing the Holy Spirit to produce this fruit in your life. Do you demonstrate that you can control both your temper and physical appetites and urges? Are you able to restrain your emotions and keep your flesh under control? Or would you have to honestly say that you have a hard time controlling your emotions and that your flesh is running the show? You see, we all wrestle in these areas. But you know what? We don't have to. And that's the whole idea of the institution, is the development takes place in the people of God. And the gates of hell can't prevail against it. Together. That's why God is building the church. People, remember, church is the ecclesia, the called out ones. We've been called out of darkness and into the light. Darkness is ignorance, remember? We don't want to remain ignorant. We want to understand. And ecclesia also means the government. In other words, this is like a senate, a state senate meeting we're having today. Right, this is the government of God to advance the kingdom of God. That's why we gather on Sundays. That's why we gather, because we're out to advance the kingdom.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now.
Listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.